If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Larissa Lonehill grew up on the vast Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Life was tough there. But Larissa was the child who was always smiling, the child everyone said was adorably cute growing up, the child who would make adults laugh, and the child who would jump in and help the family with chores, whether it was cleaning the house or cooking a meal. But like many on the reservation, Larissa's teen life became somewhat troubled. This is a very common occurrence for women, actually all people really living on a reservation. These areas are known to be impoverished with little to no opportunities, and often crime goes unnoticed and unpunished. Drugs are also a huge problem as well, and Larissa fell into that trap early. By age 19, Larissa had a daughter who eventually would go and live with her father's family. In 2016, Larissa, now 21 years old, found herself at a crossroads. She had been living with her mother on the reservation, helping care for her, when it was suggested that she go live with her sister in nearby Rapid City, South Dakota. This might be the push that Larissa needed. But after a while, it became apparent that that arrangement wasn't really working out either. Larissa's sister caught her with drugs at her home and told her that she had to leave. On the evening of October 3rd, 2016, Larissa texted a cousin, telling her that she was going to a party in Rapid City with two male friends of hers. This would be the last communication anyone would have with Larissa. When the family couldn't track her down for days, and even her close friends didn't know where she was, everyone began to panic. It was actually a month later, in early November, when Larissa's brother said they were finally going to report her as missing. Larissa has not been seen or heard from since. Where is Larissa Lonehill? Larissa Lonehill was born on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota in 1995. Now, we will talk more about the reservation later. It does come into play here. But for now, let me just tell you that it can be a difficult place for a child to grow up. Over 80% of the indigenous population on U.S. tribal lands, on these reservations, are considered below the poverty level. That statistic should shock you. 80%. What is also shocking is that almost half of high school children on the reservation will not graduate from high school. Now, a few things about Larissa. Despite these hardships, she was a happy child, the kind of girl who was always smiling, who everyone said was just so cute. She always wore her brown hair long, and she was the kind of child who liked to help. She liked to jump in and help with family chores and just help anyone with whatever they needed. Larissa was born into a family of 8 children. She was the 6th child, and her family, including her siblings, were all pretty close. But sadly, in her teen years, Larissa did fall into the world of drugs within the reservation. And as I had already mentioned, this is a common occurrence on reservation lands. By age 19, Larissa had given birth to a baby girl. Now, Larissa loved being a mom, and she loved her baby girl, although her lifestyle proved challenging when it came to raising a child, and eventually the baby went to live with Larissa's ex and the baby's father. But even though Larissa no longer had custody of her daughter, she always visited and she always stayed in regular contact. And I really think that deep down, Larissa was hoping to one day get her life straightened up so that she could be a full-time mom again. And we see this many, many times when mothers, and fathers too, I'm sure, fall victim to drugs. It in no way means that they don't love their child. Larissa would continue to struggle, however, for the next couple of years, back and forth with drugs and with hanging out with a troubled crowd, and just overall struggling to get back on the right path. She had continued to live with her mom and help care for her. When her mom finally suggested to Larissa that she go live with her sister in Rapid City, maybe this would be the push Larissa needed to get back on track. Maybe she would have more opportunities there. Maybe she could straighten up. And for a bit, everyone had hope. Larissa went to live with her sister in Rapid City, but she still stayed in touch with her family and she still visited her daughter regularly. The disappearance. In early October of 2016, Larissa's sister learned that Larissa had been doing drugs at her house. Now, this was unacceptable. For one, her sister had children, and she didn't want this around her kids, understandably so. And two, it was clear that this wasn't helping Larissa get clean. So she told Larissa she needed to leave, she couldn't live with her anymore, and she needed to go check herself into rehab. So at first, Larissa went back to her mother's house on the reservation, and her mother told Larissa she needed to go back to her sister's, make amends, and kick this drug habit for good. Larissa, at this point, wasn't sure what she was going to do. On October 3rd, 2016, Larissa texted with one of her cousins. That evening, she told her cousin that she was going to go to a party in Rapid City, and she was with 2 of her guy friends. But as the days went by after that, no one could reach Larissa. No one had seen her, and the fact that her mother hadn't heard from her, and she hadn't checked in with her daughter, had everyone worrying. Realizing that the last contact anyone had with Larissa was with her cousin on the night of October 3rd, they knew they had to track down those friends. One of those guys told her family that he had dropped her off at a party that night. The other guy, however, denied being with Larissa at all that night. Was one of them lying? Were both of them lying? Or maybe had Larissa just had a change of plans after she texted her cousin? Regardless, Larissa was now missing, and no one knew where she was. No one had seen her after October 3rd, not even her friends. Because of Larissa's ways and her habits to maybe go out of touch for a few days at a time, and maybe she was upset after having to leave her sister's, her family continued to try and find her on their own, thinking that maybe she was hiding out with someone else, maybe she was staying with another friend, maybe even a friend they didn't know about, and they weren't sure that authorities would help them out. There's always that stigma about authorities searching for adult women, and especially Indigenous women, which we'll talk about later. Because of all of this, it would be a month before Larissa Lonehill was finally reported as missing to the local authorities, and an official search for her would begin. Larissa Lonehill had disappeared. The search and investigation. So the search for Larissa begins, officially anyway, but I can't tell you exactly what physical searches were done. Were there any ground searches? I don't know. Were there tracking dogs, helicopters, ATVs used? It doesn't seem so. The tricky part would be determining where to search. Where did she even go missing from? So authorities began with the obvious. Who were those that were with her last? They do track down those two men that Larissa had said she was planning to be with that day. Something, again, she had told her cousin via that text message. And again, the same story. One of those men said, yes, he saw Larissa that night. It was the night of October 3rd, and he had dropped her off at someone else's house that evening. He saw her go in and then he left. He hadn't seen or heard from her since. Now, the other man denied seeing Larissa at all that day. Now, that alone could be suspicious, but maybe not. Maybe Larissa's plans had changed. Maybe she thought she was going to go see that guy that day and told her cousin that, but maybe she actually did not. The big question I also have is, who were the other people at the house where she was allegedly dropped off at? And what did they have to say about her going missing or about when they saw her last? This is also a question we don't have answers to. Hopefully, police have those answers and have just not shared them publicly. Now, law enforcement did take on her case, but there were many, many comments from friends and family right off the bat that they weren't really putting any effort into finding Larissa. First of all, she is an adult. She was 21. And we know that cases of missing adults often get put on the back burner. People do have a right to disappear if they want. And that is what law enforcement will tell you. And if there isn't anything directly pointing to a crime, there really isn't much they can do. Second, Larissa had a past history with drugs. And I can tell you, while it is difficult sometimes to get authorities to investigate missing adults in general, it is exceptionally difficult to get them to investigate missing adults with a drug history. And the media, well, they don't want to touch those stories either. And I do partially get where they are coming from. I just don't understand it. A human being is a human being. And I pose the question to you, what if this was your daughter, your best friend? What if this was your niece? Larissa's family had to fight hard for exposure on her case. And in doing so, many, many tips would start to come in. Mostly rumors that were flying around or stirred up on social media. But there was one story that did catch everyone's attention, including law enforcement. A story surfaced that two men had killed Larissa and buried her body just outside of Rapid City. Or perhaps maybe Larissa had overdosed and they decided to bury her, maybe thinking that they would somehow be implicated if they called 911 or called the police or authorities in any way. Either way, we don't know much about how or why this story was put out there. And again, there are a ton of rumors that were swirling around. And law enforcement has never given specific details. But I can tell you this, after this particular story came out, authorities did publicly state that they do believe Larissa is no longer alive and that she is buried somewhere within a 100-mile radius of Rapid City. They have also said that they will not reclassify her case as a homicide, however, that they have kept her listed as an endangered missing person. And they have stated that that is simply because while they believe she is likely deceased and they believe this story of her being buried within a 100-mile radius, they just simply don't have any evidence pointing to it, concrete evidence anyway, that would enable them to reclassify her case. So for some reason, they believe this tip was credible. And maybe also because there is a lack of information showing that she is still alive, such as sightings of Larissa, use of her social security number, any electronic trail, so to speak. And Larissa has now been missing for over a decade. And rumors continue to swirl around occasionally when her case hits the socials again. But in reality, we don't seem to have many more answers than we did 10 years ago. And we still don't have Larissa.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hailey Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Pine Ridge Reservation and Rapid City, South Dakota. Let's go to where all of this is taking place. The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation is one of the largest Native American reservations in the United States. It is home to the Oglala Sioux Tribe, which is a federally recognized tribe of the Lakota Nation, and Larissa was considered Lakota. The reservation is located in the southwestern part of South Dakota. It covers over 2 million acres. The reservation is geographically vast, and it is largely rural, with little scattered communities about rather than one central city. There are approximately 18 to 20,000 enrolled tribal members living on this reservation. Now, this reservation is also considered one of the poorest areas of the United States. The Oglala Lakota County consistently ranks among the lowest in income and the highest in poverty nationally. Pine Ridge continues to face significant challenges, which include very high unemployment, often reported around 70 to 80%. That's huge. Thinking about 80% of the population on the reservation are unemployed, which of course leads to limited housing. There's limited infrastructure. There's limited access to healthcare on the reservation. Many have to travel to Rapid City for healthcare, and traveling can be difficult too. Many don't have transportation or the financial means to get themselves to Rapid City, which this also leads to a lower life expectancy compared to the U.S. average, much lower. In fact, life expectancy, specifically on the Pine Ridge Reservation, has been reported to be among the lowest in the entire Western Hemisphere. Geographically speaking, well over 90% of the reservation is undeveloped land, or just open land, maybe some of it used lightly for agriculture or grazing, but it's highly undeveloped. But specifically, it is believed that Larissa was last seen in Rapid City, South Dakota. Rapid City is the second largest city in South Dakota. It is often called the gateway to the Black Hills, and it serves as the main urban hub for Western South Dakota. It's a major access point for tourism, healthcare, and commerce. The population of Rapid City is around 75,000 residents, although it is known as one of the fastest growing areas of South Dakota. Rapid City does have a notable Native American population, largely, of course, due to its proximity to the Pine Ridge Reservation and also the Rosebud Reservation. Pine Ridge is located just south of the city. And because it's the closest big city to Pine Ridge, many of the tribal members travel there, as I mentioned, for medical care, but also for employment, any legal or court matters, or any other services that they may need. They can't get on the reservation. They have to travel to Rapid City. Rapid City sits in one of the most geographically diverse areas in the Midwest. Within an hour's drive, the landscape can go dramatically from forested mountains to rugged badlands to open prairie. Now, if you go immediately west of the city, the terrain rises into these pine-covered hills and granite rock formations. This is where you'll find Mount Rushmore National Memorial, the Custer State Park, the Crazy Horse Memorial, and Deadwood, the popular historic Gold Rush town. If you go to the east, you'll find mostly open prairie lands. The landscape flattens into rolling grasslands and agricultural fields. Towns become much smaller and much more spread out. The southeast specifically takes you right into the Badlands National Park. Now, this is one of the most visually striking areas in the state. It's a major tourist draw. Many people travel to the Badlands every year, but it does offer open, vast land where there is nothing but dramatic rock formations, deep canyons, and just a ton of open, undeveloped land, much of which is hard to access. Now, if you travel south of Rapid City, that's where you'll run into the reservations specifically. And specifically the one we're talking about in regards to Larissa, the Pine Ridge Reservation. Now, there are many residents who travel between Rapid City and the Pine Ridge, and it seems Larissa and her family also did the same. As for water sources in that area, which is something we always need to look at in the cases of missing persons, especially missing persons who have stayed missing for so long, that area is notoriously dry. But there is some water. There's the Rapid Creek, which primarily runs right through Rapid City. It does originate in the Black Hills, but it is not very deep, however. There are certain times where it might flood, and the water levels are known to go up and down drastically. There's also the Pactola Lake, which is the largest reservoir, the largest lake in the Black Hills. It's about 15 miles west of Rapid City. It is managed and monitored closely because it is a major source of drinking water for the city, but it's also a very popular recreation lake where people go boating and fishing. And then there's also the nearby Sheridan Lake, which is just west of the city as well, and it covers a surface area of 383 acres. It's another notably large water source. Now, authorities do believe it is very likely Larissa is within 100 miles of the city. Now, that's just a ton of open land and a very, very sparsely populated area. The MMIW crisis. MMIW stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, a term used to describe the very disproportionate rates of violence, disappearances, and homicide affecting Native American and Alaska Native women in the United States. This is considered both a public safety crisis and a human rights issue. And honestly, the statistics are staggering. Homicide is among the top leading cause of death for Indigenous women and girls, according to the CDC data. In specific communities, the murder rate for Indigenous women can be up to 10 times higher than the national average. In 2016, which is the year Larissa went missing, the National Crime Information Center reported 5,712 missing American Indian and Alaska Native women and girls. However, only 116 of those were actually recorded in the Federal Missing Persons Database, known as NAMIS. This is a huge, huge gap in tracking and reporting between the U.S. government and the tribal lands. This means well over 5,000 women and girls went missing from reservation lands and were never entered into the national database, were never entered into NAMIS. We, as the public and as the population of the United States, we have no idea who these 5,000 plus women and girls are. Now, the other issue is, even though we are better about recording data now, There has been many, many times the data is reported incorrectly with regards to race or ethnicity. We know for sure that Native American and Alaska Native women experience the highest rates of violence in the U.S. Studies have shown and proven that more than 4 out of 5 Indigenous women will experience violence in their lifetime. 4 out of 5. Indigenous women also face homicide rates 10 times higher than the national average. And as I mentioned too, many disappearances will continue to go underreported or will be misclassified, making the tracking extremely difficult. Now, why is this happening? Well, historically, federal databases did not ever record Native identity, leaving that up to the tribal or reservation lands themselves. And most of these reservations have their own tribal police and their own system. So why is this happening? There are several overlapping factors that are contributing to this crisis. Number one is jurisdictional confusion. We're trying to communicate between tribal police, state law enforcement, and federal agencies like the FBI. How can these three agencies work together? There is not one system that merges them all. There is also a lot of crossovers, meaning there's a lot of violence that happens to the Native population, to the Indigenous women, violence that is committed by non-Native perpetrators. So who historically should manage those crimes? Who handles it? Who takes on those cases? Well, those are the cases that largely get pushed aside because nobody knows who should handle them. There's also a large proponent of human trafficking and exploitation, specifically on the reservations, and largely in part due to no one knowing who should manage this legally. It's almost as if it's the Wild West out there. All of these areas are rural. Many are border towns. There are major highways that nearby, and it seems to be a target for criminals based on the almost lawless society we have there. You might be surprised to learn that it has only been in very, very, very recent years when the government actually became involved in this crisis. Up until 2019, there were no databases that were maintained, and tribal police were not required to enter their missing persons into the national database. They were a complete and separate entity. And while this is what the tribal police wanted, it became clear that the federal government, the state government, and the tribal authorities had to find a way to work together. In 2019, the federal government launched Operation Lady Justice. This is a task force aimed at improving the coordination and solving missing and murdered Indigenous cases. There was finally a recognition that we have a crisis here. In 2021, Deb Haaland, the first Native American U.S. Secretary of the Interior, launched the Missing and Murdered Unit within the Bureau of Indian Affairs to focus specifically on cold and active cases. Now, while these efforts represent progress, many advocates argue that more funding, better data systems, and stronger tribal authority is still needed. And this is still a very new process within the United States, so I do have hope that there will be continued improvement. There is still a very long way to go, but the last few years have brought a lot of awareness to this crisis, and it is a crisis. I do want to also mention, mark your calendars now if you'd like to help. May 5th is recognized as the National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. Posting and sharing these cases on social media can really go a long way. And while we need to do that all year long, May 5th is a National Day of Awareness.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Other missing persons in the Rapid City, South Dakota area. So I always want to look into other missing persons in the area where we're specifically focused. And there are quite a few in the Rapid City area. Grace Dubray is a female Indigenous woman missing since August 12, 2025, last seen wearing a navy blue t-shirt, long basketball shorts, and black tennis shoes. Alaya Janis, an Indigenous woman missing since December 24, 2025. Olivia Perry, an Indigenous woman missing since February 6, 2026. Adele Pipeunhead, female Indigenous missing since December 8, 2025. Yakina Poor Thunder, female Indigenous missing since November 16, 2025. Kiana Tubles, an Indigenous woman missing since July 11, 2025. Susan Fast Eagle, an Indigenous woman missing since May 6, 2021. Alana White Quills, a female Indigenous missing since October 3rd, 2025. And there's also two cases listed from Rapid City, South Dakota of non-Indigenous, and that is Macy Northcutt, missing since May 19th, 2023, and Serenity Denard, a female child missing since February 3rd, 2019. Serenity's case is very bizarre. She left on foot in severe weather, was seen running off into the woods from her group home that she lived in, and has never been seen or heard from since. Now, if you do have any information regarding any missing person case, that I mentioned, or any other missing person case, please contact your local authorities. They can help direct you, or you can always contact Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. So what do you think happened to Larissa Lonehill back in October of 2016? Did she leave on her own? She was troubled. Had she just had enough and wanted to start over somewhere else? Did she wander off and have an accident somewhere in the vast terrain of South Dakota? Or did she possibly meet with foul play? Larissa is described as an Indigenous woman, standing 5'3" tall and weighing around 120 pounds when she was last seen. She was 21 years old in October of 2016. Larissa has long brown hair and brown eyes. Her nickname is Rissa, or she may also be using the first name Lisa. She does have some tattoos. She has the name Luda tattooed on her knuckles. She has a paw print on her hand, a bear claw with writing on her wrist, and the words Mom and Lisa somewhere on her body. She also is known to have a scar on the left side of her face. If you have any information regarding Larissa Lonehill's disappearance, please contact the Rapid City Police Department at 605-394-4134. You can also contact the Oglala Sioux Tribal Police at 605-867-5111. And as I mentioned, you can always contact Crime Stoppers. You can also remain completely anonymous through Crime Stoppers, and their number is 1-800-222-TIPS. Thank you so much for listening to Larissa's story today. Let's keep sharing her name, sharing her photo. Let's keep her case out there, and let's get Larissa brought home to her family. I do want to direct you to the Facebook group that has been set up for Larissa. It is monitored by her friends and family, and you can find that on Facebook at Searching for Larissa Lonehill. Please head over there, give it a follow, and show your support to the family. If you would like to learn more about the MMIW crisis, there are a couple of good resources to check out. There is a documentary called Somebody's Daughter. This does focus on the MMIW crisis in the state of Montana. Missing and Murdered, The Lost Women of Winnipeg. This is Canadian focused, but Canada and the U.S. have similar struggles when it comes to the Indigenous population, and that does offer a better understanding of the broader Indigenous patterns that we've been seeing. There's also an investigative podcast exploring a specific Indigenous woman's disappearance called Stolen, The Search for Germaine. There's also a few books that have been written. Highway of Tears, written by Jessica McDiarmid. This is basically a Canadian story, but the Highway of Tears in Canada is a known crisis involving Indigenous population. There's also a book written by Sarah Deer, The Beginning and End of Rape. This is a legal perspective on tribal jurisdiction. And as I mentioned, May 5th is the National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. And if you ever see the red handprint symbol, that campaign is specifically noted to bring awareness to the missing and murdered Indigenous population. I do want to ask a favor of you all as well. If you have made it this far into the podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform. As always, this helps tremendously. It's totally free to do, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate that and how much exposure it helps to bring these stories. If you'd like to support the show further, you can join us over on Patreon. Our Patreon is where you'll find ad-free episodes and some bonus episodes. And the money raised over there does help us pay it forward to the families of the missing or the organizations that help support these families. Of course, make sure you're following us over on the socials. I try to bring case updates and news over there to you first. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Those links will always be in the show notes, or you can always just search for the Where Are They podcast. Lastly, if you have any case suggestions for us or feedback, or maybe some intel on a case that we've already covered, if you're local to the area, please reach out to me. You can do so via the social medias, or you can email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. I do read each and every inquiry or email or correspondence that comes through, and we'll try to get back to everyone at some point. Thank you so much for listening to Larissa Lonehill's story today. We don't know much about her case. We don't have as much detail as to who Larissa was herself or the efforts of the search that went in to find her. But her family continues to push hard for answers, and they deserve answers. Larissa has a daughter out there and an extended family who think about her every day. Let's keep talking about her, let's keep her name out there, and let's keep the pressure on to find this beautiful girl and bring her home to her family where she belongs. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
We have ourselves a great movie.
Audiences are going loony for Coyote versus Acme.
Couldn't agree more.
And critics are calling it a wildly entertaining movie.
I'm here for the Annie.
in any pantsless modeling gig?
Ingenious.
Exactly.
Chaotic comedy fun.
Exactly.
A family-friendly blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And pure movie magic.
Pretty flattering. Think things like this make us look pretty good in the public eye.
Beep, beep.
Coyote versus Acme. In theaters August 28th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with. Thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.